Welcome to the Modern Girl Podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Parsons. I'm a certified holistic health coach, intuitive eating specialist, and health at every size advocate. Cozy up with me each week for empowering conversations with ambitious women as we share real stories around our relationships with food, body, and moving through life in the modern world. Hi. Welcome to episode 60. Oh my God. Of the Modern Girl Podcast. That is so crazy. And I have such a special guest today. I have Nina Boyce back on the show. She was the second guest of this podcast. And she is also one of my really dear friends, and she's a colleague in this space. And I have just watched Nina go through all kinds of incredible life changes this past year. And I wanted to bring her back on today for a really unique episode because she is pregnant. Actually, she has delivered her little baby at the time that you are listening to this. But when we recorded this episode, she was about to bring that baby into this world like any moment. And we'll tell you the backstory on how we actually decided to have this conversation in just a moment. It's kind of funny. But let me introduce you to Nina. If you have not listened to that episode with her before, Nina Boyce is a certified hormone coach and Reiki practitioner based in Columbus, Ohio. Her programs focus on educating women to transition off of birth control, live in flow with their natural cycle, and restore their fertility. Through an intuitive eating lens, she guides her clients in making nutritional and lifestyle changes that support their unique body. As a certified fertility awareness educator, Nina uses this method to help her clients achieve their desired fertility goals, whether that be pregnancy achievement or natural birth control. She is also the host of the Healing Hormones podcast, where she interviews leading women in the world of menstrual health. We talk about so much in this conversation today. We talk all about Nina's personal relationship with her body while trying to conceive and the power of surrendering during the process, her personal experience of anxiety during her pregnancy, and the self-doubt of being a good mom. We get into comparing her changing body to other women that are expecting and the mindset shift that helped her lessen this habit. We dive into the justification of body comments, overstepping boundaries during pregnancy, and why this narrative needs to be changed in our culture, as well as Nina's extremely helpful and practical tips for other expectant mothers undergoing the uncertainty of how your body will change. I was so fired up to have this conversation with Nina because she is, first of all, I know her, and I wanted to invite somebody on the show to have a conversation like this who I knew wouldn't hold back and who I knew was at a place with their own body where they were able to really unpack a lot of the cultural messaging and nuances of these changes that women go through, that people go through at this stage in their life. I'm not a mom, so I've never been through pregnancy before. So I had a lot of curious questions about this from just observing women go through pregnancy in the world and friends and family and clients and all of these things. And so I hope you enjoy wherever you're at, whether you are a mom, whether you hope to be a mom, whether you are currently pregnant, whether you know somebody who's pregnant. I hope that you find support in all of the information that Nina shares today and just her awesomeness, because she really just showed up and laid it on the line and in such an empowering way as well too. So without further ado, here is Nina Boyce. Be sure to check the show notes and we'll link everything there. But for now, just enjoy. All right, Nina Boyce, my dear friend. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I'm so happy to be chatting with you. Podcast recording or not, I just love chatting with you.
Oh, it's like one of my favorite things ever. And before we even get into this conversation, I want to share why we're doing this conversation, just to give everybody a heads up. So for everybody listening in this little community, in this family that we're a part of, you probably have listened to Nina's first episode. She's a former guest on the show. If you haven't already, go back and listen to it. And she's my dear friend. She's a colleague of mine. We'll have you introduce yourself in a moment. But the reason why we're here today is because Nina's pregnant.
I am.
Not just like found out she's like cooking, like about to have a baby.
Very pregnant. I'm over 38 weeks pregnant. She could be here today, or she could be here in a week, 10 days. Or if she's really stubborn, she can wait till 42 weeks, but I don't think she's going to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was on my bed last weekend reading a book, and I had this inspiration. Everybody knows I do this sometimes with the podcast, but I was like, oh my God, I have to interview Nina about her body image because she's like literally been through it all, but I have to do it before this baby comes.
So, which is soon.
So I texted her and said, can we do this? Are you open to having a really vulnerable conversation about your body image and how it's shifted through pregnancy? And of course you were down because you, like, I asked you for that reason. And I've just always appreciated your transparency and your vulnerability and your honesty and how that really ties into the work that you do and your purpose. So here we are. And yay. Is there anything you want to add to that little intro?
No, that's great. Honestly, I'm an open book. I'm happy to chat about all of the things, any questions you have for me on before pregnancy, during this pregnancy, body image. I'm ready for it.
Cool. Well, so let's start with before pregnancy. And can you just share, while you guys are trying to conceive, if it was something that you were actively trying to do, what did your relationship with your body look like during that time? And just share your story. You know how this goes. We'll pop in with questions and everything. But yeah, what did it look like?
Yeah. So what's crazy is, you know, I'm in the hormone and fertility space. So it's like, I have a ton of knowledge on like what's going on with my body and, you know, helping other women. So I was frustrated, honestly, because I was having a lot of hormone symptoms personally I could not figure out, like a lot of period pain, a lot of spotting in, you know, the second half of my cycle, which is not always great. And I wanted to conceive. And so we had been kind of actively trying. This was last November, like not this past November, the November before that. Mm-hmm. And I had in the back of my head this story, like, just, I feel like something's wrong with my body, you know? And I was struggling with a lot of period pain. And so I was kind of diving down the route of, do I have endometriosis? Should I schedule a laparoscopic diagnostic surgery? Like, all of these thoughts were going through my head. So this was on the back of my mind. And, you know, we had started trying and I didn't conceive for the first 2 to 3 months, which, by the way, is completely normal. But I was had this, again, this like feeling, something's wrong with my body, something's wrong with my body. So I went to my doctor, we kind of chatted about the whole period pain endo thing and made a game plan. And she was like, you know, well, if you don't conceive within 6 months, then let's talk about having this surgery, just because a lot of the symptoms I was having were tied to endometriosis. Mm-hmm. So there was something there, like, you know, like we probably should look into this if you don't conceive within 6 months. Mm-hmm. So in the end, you know, I will say, like, we actively tried for 6 months. There were breaks in between. So we started in November. I actually ended up conceiving in July. And so throughout that whole process, there was a lot of frustration. And this is not to undermine anybody that has been trying to have a baby for many, many years. I understand. My time frame is much, much shorter. And I'm so lucky that we ended up conceiving her, you know, right when we were supposed to in July. Mm-hmm. But the reason I'm sharing that is because I feel like before I actually conceived, I had this, just this view that my body needed to be fixed. And the month that I decided to let go, so this is wild, but I was pulling some tarot cards for myself and journaling about it. And I had this endosurgery. So we actually ended up scheduling it. It was for September. So it was like a few months out. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let go because this surgery is scheduled for September. If it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, I know I'm going to have some answers. So I'm pulling these tarot cards and they tell me to just release, to surrender, to let go. And I remember I just started crying. Like, it was just the message I needed to hear in that moment. And I did a little womb meditation, which is something I do with my clients, where I just, you know, placed my hands on my lower abdomen. I gave my body love. I gave my womb some love. And I just said, you know, I trust you. I know that you are working for me. And, you know, I surrender. I let go. And I actually got pregnant that month, that July.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it was. And again, whatever you believe, a coincidence. I just was like, there's something to the fact, I think, that I decided to just let my body do what she needed to do. So we conceived in July. And then, you know, since then, it's been a really good pregnancy. I've been so lucky. I mean, I've definitely had symptoms and body changing, and we can get into all that, but that's a little bit of the preconception story.
That is such a cool story. And also, it's, you know, I hear similar things like this for women's fertility journeys where, you know, they stop trying and that's when they get pregnant, or they go through IVF and then they, you know, or if that doesn't happen, like they get pregnant after they conceive through IVF or something naturally, or the adoption goes through and then they get pregnant. You know what I mean? And I think that there's, and you know more about this than I do as a fertility expert, but there's something to stress and how profound of an impact that has on our bodies. And our bodies are so sensitive to stress, but to let go of that stress, like to really let go of it, that is tough. Like try all day to, and we can tell ourselves I'm letting go, but to actually let go, that's the challenge. And I think it's such a beautiful story that you're sharing, because really surrendering from that aspect of something is already lined up. So you were trusting the process fully in some way and just giving your body that opportunity to release, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely helped knowing that I had, you know, a game plan. And I was like, okay, like this is scheduled in September. We have just let the body do what it's going to do. You come to that in your own timing, you know, like, and also knowing so much about the body and about hormones and about fertility and about fertility awareness method. It's like, I was controlling so much because I felt like I knew so much. So I was like, well, I know so much. So I need to take action. Mm-hmm. And I need to control. And there, I think there's just a fine balance, which is something I try and teach now, where it's like, okay, let's use the data. Let's figure things out. Let's put the body and do what we can. But also we cannot forget this emotional, mental, emotional aspect of conceiving, or, you know, in health in general. It's a huge component.
Yeah, I would go so far as to say in life in general. Yes. I feel like there, you know, especially in Western culture, we're in such a doing society, and it's so challenging to resist that doing and move towards a being and just like getting quiet and getting still and recognizing how much power is in that. And yeah, like to your point as well, as an expert, knowing all of the things and having all of the tools and just being able to like check off boxes and make sure that everything is going according to plan. It's such a fine balance to be able to do that. And okay, so I want to hear about when you actually got pregnant and then how your body started to changing on a physical, mental, and emotional level. So tell us the actual story of when you found out you're pregnant.
Yeah. So, okay. So like I mentioned before, I had post-ovulatory spotting before my period. And so what this time, I wasn't getting that. And I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. But I had gotten my hopes up so much throughout the other months that I was like, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. Well, then I had been talking about it with Cody and he and my husband. And he was like, you know, why don't you just go to Target and get a pregnancy test? Like, you know, if you have that feeling that this could be something, like, just, you know, take it. Either then we can put it out of our minds or we can move forward. And so I went to Target, picked up a pregnancy test. Sure enough, it was positive. I was like, I honestly did not believe it. I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh. I like walked out. Cody was sitting on the couch and I was like, I'm pregnant.
Oh my God.
It just like, you know, he was like, oh my gosh, congratulations. You know, we did the hugging thing.
Way to go, Cody. That's so intuitive.
I know. And then we ended up, what was hard was we both had calls and things that day. So I felt like the whole day I was just like a ball of like anxiety. But we called our parents like later that evening and, you know, got the word out. But so that was like finding out, which was fantastic. I think I had to go through, and we've talked about this before, Caitlin, like change can be kind of hard for me. So I think I had to go through then this process of, holy crap, I'm pregnant, you know? And so there was anxiety, I'll admit, that came up pretty recently, like after I found out. And I was like, oh my goodness, why am I experiencing this? You know, why do I feel so anxious? It's like, I think my body had to process like the energy shift around realizing I was pregnant and like, here we are. And, you know, let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. And around that same time is when I started to feel nausea around like 6 weeks. So those were kind of my first big, okay, things are starting to shift and things are starting to change. Mm-hmm. I'm so lucky that I've made an appointment with a therapist to talk about the anxiety because I wanted to be proactive. Like, I didn't know, is this something that I was going to experience throughout? I will say I'm so lucky that it was like a spurt of a week or so. And then it could be hormone levels changing. It could be, again, that energetic, mental, emotional, like shift that happened in my body. But it subsided, which was nice. I know a lot of people can struggle throughout.
Well, I'm curious about your anxiety, if you're open to sharing, and I know you've been really open about your mental health journey and struggling with anxiety on and off throughout your life. So was this a different type of anxiety for you? And do you remember some of the thoughts that you were having and some of the fears or concerns or worries? Like, what did the anxiety look like for you at that time?
It was, I feel like a lot of my anxiety just stems from self-doubt or not trusting myself. So it's the fear of feeling it, to be honest. So when I started to have these anxious feelings, I was like, oh no, I don't want this to stay. Like, I want this pregnancy to be perfect. I want to feel perfect. Like, I don't want this to come back. Oh no, are the hormone switches and fluctuations going to cause my anxiety to come back? And, you know, just like all of these thoughts. And then it was like, oh, there's no going back. Like, she's here now. So we have to do this. Like, it was just a lot of those self-doubt, change. This is a change. Can I handle it? That sort of thing. And so luckily, you know, I've been at this place before, so I definitely had my resources. I like started looking up pregnancy meditations. I was reading a couple of different books that really helped me feel less alone in that. I was looking at other women's stories who had also felt this way. I was looking into just various ways of like, how can I, doing more yoga, you know, little things that helped me to get into my body and to calm my body. And it really did start to dissipate. And I did have a therapist on hand, which I think is so important to say for anybody going through pregnancy or, you know, even after the postpartum period, like have your team. Like, if you, it's great to have those people, like therapy is amazing. So I had those things on hand but it was a lot of self-doubt.
So self-doubt, that's so interesting. Self-doubt around like the pregnancy itself, self-doubt around being a good mom, self-doubt around your body changing. Like, what kind of self-doubts were you having?
Being a good mom. That like, was
after
really,
she was here.
Yeah. And because I had felt that I had sort of overcome a lot of my anxiety struggles, because there was a point before I actually became a health coach, is why I became one, but that it controlled me. And so I hated that feeling of feeling like I couldn't cope, you know, like that the anxiety was taking over me. And so when I started to get that feeling back, it was like, oh no, I don't want to go back to that place. Mm-hmm. And I want to be the best mom for her. So it was both a mix of myself not wanting to go back to a place where I felt like I had gotten out of, and then also wanting to be really mentally stable for this baby. So then those mom fears of like, I want to make sure I'm okay for her.
Yeah. The extra pressure, which obviously was new for you because you've mm-hmm. never been pregnant before. So mm-hmm. I can only imagine when you were researching all this, did you find that this is like, was that surprising that you were experiencing this? And also that this is more common in women than we really talk about? Like, what were you finding when you were researching it?
I think that it's way more common than we think. And when we're in it, we feel like we're the only ones experiencing it. But that's not true. And actually, you know, so many women will say, like, we only hear the glowing, beautiful, I'm on cloud nine pregnancy stories, or even, you know, after baby, it's like so much love, so much this, so much that. And sometimes we forget that women are struggling with some of these other things. And the more we share about it, the more we can humanize it and say, oh, this is actually totally normal. Like, not only are our hormones skyrocketing, mm-hmm. so who knows how your body, everybody responds to that differently, physically, and mental, emotionally. So that's one aspect. And then also I feel like there's this spiritual piece of it too, where you're transitioning, like you're transitioning from a former life. As soon as you get pregnant, you're now in a new phase. And so you have to process that however your body's meant to process that. And for me, I think that was learning again to release, learning again to surrender, learning again to accept wherever I'm at and not judge. Like, okay, it's okay for me to have anxiety right now. Like, this doesn't make me a bad future mom. This doesn't mean I'm not going to be able to handle it. It just means it's coming up for me to acknowledge. And so, yeah, it was another like learning experience that I had to go through that I think the baby was teaching me.
Yeah, I love that perspective. And I'm curious when you started to feel your body shifting and changing, like when did you, so we're talking about the mental and the emotional, which has an impact on our physical bodies as well. Anxiety absolutely shows up in our bodies and that, and the feelings that we experience. But when did you start to notice your body actually changing for the first time with the pregnancy? And what was your reaction? What was your experience like?
Yeah. So I would say around 6 weeks, I started to feel some nausea. So that was the first like, ooh, okay, I feel that going on. And then during the first trimester for me, which is really common, is bloating. Mm. So just and it's that weird, that weird transitional phase where you're like, oh my gosh, I kind of look like I have a bump, but I'm actually just bloated. And then you're like, ugh, I shouldn't look like I have a bump yet. Like, what's going on? You know, this isn't a real bump. It's just bloating. And then you just feel a little bit like uncomfortable in your body. And so that was something I had to kind of go through too, was, okay, it's like that fear of, well, it's not a baby bump. So is this like, what is going on here? And should I just be okay with it? Or are people looking at it? You know, do they know I may be pregnant? Like that, those thoughts did go through my head at the very beginning of that first trimester until, you know, that tiny baby bump starts to show.
What is the first trimester? I always get confused with the amount of times in the trimester. Mm-hmm. So what's the month or the week that a first trimester is?
It is up until 12 or 13 weeks. There's like different people say different things. Okay. I think when I hit 13 weeks, I was like, I'm in the second trimester.
Okay. So that's like the first 3 months essentially. So you're nauseous, and this is your experience, but we're just like mm-hmm. talking about your experience, and this will look different for everybody, but also it's probably more common than we realize as well too. So you're nauseous, you're bloated. Are you constipated as well too? Like, is that contributing to the bloat, or is the bloat coming from certain foods that you're eating? Or is it just like literally your body getting ready to create the baby? Like, where does the bloat come from? Do you feel like?
Progesterone soaring. So estrogen and progesterone start to soar as soon as you conceive that baby. And progesterone is what contributes both to constipation and to bloating. So those both. I had both of those. As far as the nausea goes, I'm lucky. I only threw up, I think, 3 times throughout my entire first trimester. And then once I hit the trimester, I really did get that, what they call the second trimester, like lift or bliss, where I didn't feel nauseous anymore. Mm-hmm. And I haven't for the rest of my, pregnancy, which has been great. Mm-hmm. But it was like there were a couple of days in that first trimester where I was on the couch just like, oh, like this does not feel good. Like I could maybe throw up at any moment, and some food aversions, not a ton. Like I was still able to eat, which I also am grateful for, because some women are, you know, out for the count. Like you just kind of, if anyone's listening to this that is thinking about getting pregnant or is pregnant right now and in their first trimester, you just got to get through, eat what you can. You know, your body is doing a lot. It's literally growing the baby's organs. So you do what you need to do to get through that first trimester.
How did you, what were some tools that you used during that time? Like, how did you support yourself physically, just with the physical discomfort, and also just with the emotional and mental discomfort that you were saying of just not having a full bump and just navigating your body changing emotionally and all of these things as well too? Do you have any self-care practices that you were really leaning into or anything?
I love the app Expectful. It's a meditation app. And I listened to a lot of meditations that were there, you know, for, you can listen to them pre-pregnancy, for fertility, and then they have different ones for each trimester. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to a lot of the first trimester ones. There also was one about nausea, so I would listen to that one. But then I really was just listening to my body, like, does she want to move right now? Do I just need to like lay low? Do I want some water? What food would sound good? Do I want purely bread and carbs right now? For me, it was fruit and also bread. Like I really just wanted fruit and bread. So I just listened to what my body actually wanted. I didn't force myself to eat anything that didn't sound good or made me nauseous. I was really sad because I loved smoothies and smoothies made me want to throw up. So I had to, you know, I didn't eat those. Dairy was also something that my body really wanted, and it was an easily digestible like protein and fat. And so I listened to that and had more, you know, cheese and things. So it was really a lesson, I think, in tuning into my body in a different way than I had before. Like I always listened to her, but this time it was more drastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember the first time that you looked in the mirror and thought, oh my God, like that's my baby bump? Or did you mm-hmm. feel it first, like with your hand? Like how did you, what was the moment where you actually were able to distinguish the bump from the bloat?
Oh, now I'm trying to think back. I have pictures I documented on my phone mm-hmm. and I was wearing one of my yoga pants. And I remember just seeing this tiny little bump, but with bloat, you feel hard, you know, it feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have that aspect, but I did have that tiny blip, that little bump going on. It's funny because when I look back on some of my earlier pictures, I'm like, man, and you thought that was a bump then. Now here I am at 38 weeks and she is undeniably here. She's at bumping. This point. Yeah, she's bumping for sure. But I remember taking a ton of pictures just as the yoga pants got a little tighter, you know, as the shirts got a little bit tighter. And I have to say, I actually really enjoyed the bump. Like I enjoyed watching my body change in that aspect. There were definitely times when like the bloat was uncomfortable and would hurt. And so that is when in my body, I felt more, you know, like, ugh, this doesn't feel great. But as far as the visual changes, I have to say, I kind of enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm. Did the bloat stay with you all through your pregnancy or did it end after the first trimester?
It got way better after the first trimester and it would come and go. So it's come and gone like throughout second and third, depending on, you know, if I ate something or if I overate, because the more that they grow, the more they compress your stomach. So It's a lot harder for things to digest and move around in there.
And when you had that moment of being in the yoga pants and just acknowledging, oh my God, this is my bump, was that the second trimester or was that in the first still?
It was sort of the end of the first.
Okay.
So I think around maybe 12 weeks. Because I, you know, actually I'm having another memory come to mind. I took photos. I was going to do, you know, photos for my business, but then also an announcement photo because we were announcing at 13 weeks and I had a podcast coming out with the announcement at 13 weeks. So I think it was, oh my goodness, when maybe like, I cannot remember. I think it might've been around 10 weeks that I took these pictures and I was still in regular jeans and they were high-waisted jeans, but I felt my stomach pushing up against them. Mm-hmm. And I remember even chatting with my photographer. I was like, wait, do I look okay? Like, does that, you know, like I was questioning the way I looked in the photos because I was starting to feel uncomfortable in my regular jeans. Mm. So I do remember that sort of, again, I don't know if it was the bump. I don't know if it was the bloat, but that bit of like, ooh, I'm not feeling exactly cozy in my clothes right now.
Mm-hmm. How did you navigate that? What were some ways that you were able to support yourself when you were having like those questioning moments about just your body changing?
The first thing I remember was like, well, I think it's time to buy maternity jeans. You know, it was almost like, well, I'm not fitting in these clothes anymore, so it's time to buy new ones. I think that, and this is something that I wish wasn't the case. When we are pregnant, we almost have that, oh, well, this is because of pregnancy, so it's okay type of thought. Like, oh, it's okay for me to feel this way in my clothes. I wish that we had that regardless of pregnancy or not, you know, when we were feeling uncomfortable. Like we don't need a reason to justify that it's okay or that I need to buy a bigger size of clothing. But that really was my thought process at the time. It was like, okay, this is a natural process. This is happening. I'm going to go look for maternity jeans now. Mm.
I love that you just shared that because yes, like hell yes. Why can't we just as a collective embrace our bodies changing, pregnant or not? And, and just acknowledging something as simple as, well, my body is changing right now and I get to buy a different size pant or whatever that might be. Right. And I know that's a privileged statement as well too. And this also doesn't mean that you've got to like go out and buy a whole new wardrobe or anything, like one pant, you know, to just like start the process if that is accessible for you. But that's great, Nina. And I'm so glad that you were able to have that level of self-compassion and just self-awareness as well too. What else did you notice about your body changing? Like what were some surprises that you acknowledged when you were bumping, like when she was growing?
So I'm pretty short. I'm really short. I'm under 5 foot. So one thing I did notice was that I felt like I was growing faster than, I have a friend who's pregnant. She actually just delivered her baby today. She's 5 days ahead of me. But I remember kind of doing the comparison game. Like, oh, what does that person look like at 12 weeks? Mm. Oh, should I look like this at 12 weeks? Oh, what does that person look like? And you know what's wild? Everybody looks so different at every stage of their pregnancy. So there's like no reason why you can compare. But during that first part, when I started to get the bump, I was doing a lot of like, what do you look like at 14 weeks? What do you look like at 15 weeks? And I don't know why I was doing that. I don't know if it was just to like justify that this is what my body's doing and do other women kind of have the same, you know, timeline as far as their bump goes as me, or like what's a short girl look like versus a tall. But I did kind of go through that comparison mode of like, should I look like this at this stage of my pregnancy?
So there was
a little bit of that.
Were you going down a rabbit hole with that? Like Googling like 15 week bodies? Like, were you searching on Instagram? Was it just friends? Like what was the level? And also, was this creating any kind of anxiety for you? Like that comparison? I think that I would imagine this is something that's more common than we realize as well too, just comparing your body that's changing because it's unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm. I was Googling and asking friends. The thing is, for me personally, there was this excitement of like, is this a bump or is this not a bump? And so I kept wanting just to see. I was more curious. Like I wanted to know. I was just curious how other women's bodies started to develop and grow during this like early bump stage of pregnancy. I don't know why it fascinated me. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really cause me anxiety because I, like I mentioned, again, this is my personal journey. I was kind of excited to start to show and, mm-hmm. and to have that, like, there's a baby in here. And now can you see it? Like, I've been feeling it for a little while, but now can you see it too? So it was weird. But again, if there is comparison, I'm sure that there was a little bit of that, like, is this okay that I look like this at this stage type of thing going on too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other parts of your body changed that like were surprising, or did anything change at all? Like besides the actual belly, did you notice mm-hmm. like any other parts of your body that shifted as well too?
Yeah, my boobs got really big. I had a breast reduction 10 years ago, which is a whole nother thing because they came back. Like your body, mm-hmm. that's another thing. Your body is wise, you know, like if I made them go away and then they're like, this is a joke. And like now that you're pregnant, we're bringing them back. So those definitely came about and they also hurt, which I never really struggled with super sore boobs before. Like a lot of women can struggle with that, you know, through PMS, whatever. So that was something that was new for me. I was like, here they come. They're coming back.
When was that? When did you notice that was a part of your body change in the pregnancy? What stage?
It was definitely in the first trimester and throughout the second. And I would say like towards the end of the second trimester into third, that stop, they sort of leveled out, I guess. But having said that, now that I'm about to have this baby, they change again. So I've started to notice them in preparation, I think, for the hormones changing and her coming and feeding. And that's going to be a whole nother world of like navigating what body looks like post baby and boobs and uterus shrinking back in and skin and all of the things.
Oh yeah. We'll have to do a part two to this conversation. Yeah. Absolutely. But I wanted to do this in real time, like while you are literally pregnant right now.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm the most curious about in your own experience is how other people interpret your body changing. Mm. And I think it's so interesting that we live in this culture where the boundaries kind of go out the door for so many people when they're pregnant. And I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. I've also never been pregnant before. And so I've never had that experience, but I think that there's a lot of opportunity to educate people on how to approach somebody who's pregnant in a really loving and compassionate way, and also maintain a boundary, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, whatever. But I think that there's a lot of people who just reach out and touch a belly without asking permission, mm-hmm. and, you know, comment on somebody's body and all of these things. So what did you notice for your own experience in terms of how people reacted to your body changing?
People definitely feel like they can share their thoughts on your body when you're pregnant, because there's that safety zone of, well, it's a baby. So if I say you look so big or something like that, there's again, that justification because there is a baby, right? So they're able to say that. I personally didn't mind people coming up and touching my belly. That was just me. But I would say for anyone out there, you definitely need to be cognizant and you need to ask, because some people may not be comfortable with that. And that's okay. There's like this weird ideal that just because they're pregnant, it's like now it's okay for us to go up and just put our hand on their belly or to talk about their body, and it's really not. And you need to know who you're talking to and you need to ask for things like that. This is something that I've been really thinking about, is a lot of people will say, oh my gosh, you're all baby, you're all belly. And that's such a nice compliment. Like, thank you. Yeah, there she is. But what if they're not saying that, you know, or people will be like, wow, you're looking so big. Like what? It's just like, why do we feel like we can say those things? And also are we still commenting on people's bodies when we say, oh, you're all belly? Oh, does that mean, oh, I'm not gaining weight in my face, I'm not gaining weight in my thighs or my arms or what, you know what I mean? Like when they say that, that could also be really hurtful because that can make other people think, oh no, well, what if this changes? What if I'm not all belly? Like are people judging and seeing how I'm gaining weight during pregnancy? And I've been following a lot of pregnant women on Instagram naturally because I'm pregnant now. And I've seen over and over again, people just feel like they can just comment on how, especially stars, because I'm a big Vanderpump Rules fan. I don't know if anybody else is, but all the Vanderpump Rules girls are pregnant. They're all having their babies now. They got pregnant like at the same time as me. And some of the cast members, the cruelty that people just, they feel like they can just share about, wow, she really doesn't look the same. Or, wow, look at her body compared to the other, you know, cast member's body. Like, why do we feel like we can do that? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I think you brought up a good point. Just how we talk about women's bodies when they're pregnant and how we talk about our own bodies when somebody is pregnant, there's that safety net, like you're saying, where yeah. It almost discounts your experience as a woman in some way, which is really interesting. I've never really put it together like that before, but that, you know, it also feels a little disingenuous as well too, just hearing you describe all this, where it's like, well, this is your body, you know, and this, mm-hmm. these are our bodies, and baby or no baby, look at what they're capable of. And how does this create that permission slip to be able to say comments like that? And I think that, you know, I think that there's so much work to be done around how people talk about other people's bodies, even if you're not pregnant, basically.
Exactly.
It's not your body. It's not your business. But when you are pregnant, it invites all of this commentary and unsolicited commentary too. Like it's just, It's really interesting. And I feel like, you know, one thing I'll just mention in case everybody listening hasn't caught on to this, I feel like as an outsider and your friend, you have a great relationship with your body, and you had that before getting pregnant as well too. Like you had a really solid foundation for just your own body image and listening to your body and trusting your body and all these things. Would you say?
Yeah. And I also had worked on that and cultivated that. I think we talked a lot about that in even our first podcast episode together. So I know, I think for me, it was a little bit easier to accept where my body was and how it was going to change, because I just developed over the years more of just like an appreciation, I think, for like, this is how my body is, this is how it looks, and she's going to do what she needs to do. And listening again to like, these are the symptoms I'm feeling, what should I do about them? What am I craving? Like those sort of things. So I think it was a little bit of an easier transition. So when people said things, I was just sort of like, thank you. Or, you know, there was somebody that reached out to me on Instagram and was like, did you swallow a full human in there? It was a total stranger. Okay. He's like, wow, did you swallow a whole human in there? Like, that your bump is so big. And I was like, I don't even know you, sir. Like just a troll on Instagram. And for me, I just, you know, delete, I don't care. Like, whatever. I don't know you, but those things can be really damaging to some people. Like just don't comment on other people's bodies, pregnant or not.
Yeah. Amen. I think that's like one of the biggest takeaways, which leads me to my next question that I have for you. For anybody who is either trying to get pregnant, thinking about getting pregnant, or just the beginning stages of pregnancy, what are any words of wisdom you would share with somebody who is at that place where they are feeling anxiety around their body changing specifically, and maybe coupled with the anxious thoughts of, am I going to be a good mom? Which I think is totally, I think it's realistic. I think a lot of people, like we were just talking about, experience that, but particularly around just the uncertainty of how your body's changing, and also the fear of how other people might comment on your bodies, or just things that you want to share as somebody who is pregnant right now, wisdom session.
Mm-hmm. The first thing I will say is that whatever you're feeling or whatever thoughts pop into your head, they are valid and they are okay. So if you are having thoughts of, am I going to be a bad mom? Or, you know, it's like my body is changing and I don't feel good in it. I thought I would like my pregnant body and I don't. There is nothing wrong with you having those thoughts. And I think that there's a lot of guilt, again, that we should feel and look a certain way while we're pregnant. And that was something that's been super helpful for me throughout. And to be honest, a lot of the meditations that I've done are all about accepting and just acknowledging what your thoughts are without judgment. And that's been really helpful for me, and knowing that I'm not alone in having these thoughts. And there are so many other women that are going through the same thing that are also having these thoughts. And we don't have to hold on to them and identify with them or make them mean anything negative about us. So that's the first thing I'll say. And that really helps you to be able to let it go and to release it. And then the second thing I will add is, when those thoughts come up, when we're choosing, you know, not to judge them and just get curious about them, I think that for me was a way for me to then say, this is a learning process for me. Like every change that we go through, every time I might experience some anxiety or maybe a negative thought that I don't want to have, why is this coming up? And how can I use this new transition in my life? So this one's pregnancy. How can I use this to, I guess, learn my next lesson, right? Like this is coming up again. And now I get, and I have another chance to relearn and get curious about it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's like my motto for life. Just getting curious. If we can just lead with that, it is just, there's so much we can learn about ourselves and about life in general. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about post-pregnancy and when she's here and the way your body is probably going to change in that aspect, like, and also just any anxiety that's coming up now, just your mental health, and how are you feeling today? She's literally about to be here like any moment. So where are you at with all of this?
So physically, this is kind of crazy, but I feel like I'm going to be a little bit sad to not have her in this belly. Like I've kind of enjoyed it. Like I mentioned before, and I was doing a meditation before we did this podcast. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, one of the mantras or affirmations was, this season will only happen once. And it brings tears to my eyes every time. Just like, oh my gosh, this season of her being here in me, like this close to me with this baby bump. And this is only going to happen once, you know, with her specifically. So I'm kind of sad in a way that, but happy, sad, you know, that like this is ending and the new phase is coming. I have gone through some waves of emotion. So during, like after that first spout of anxiety I had, that again, probably lasted maybe 7 to 10 days, I felt really great. Like the hormones, I don't know what, I just felt pretty like mentally and energetically great throughout this pregnancy. I've been super lucky. As I've ended the end of this pregnancy, as I suspected, some fears of mamahood have come up. Like, oh my gosh, what's it going to feel like when these hormones drop? What if the anxiety comes back? What about postpartum depression? I really hope I don't go through that. And what if I'm just so tired? Or what if she just cries all the time? What if I can't, like, I've noticed those thoughts will kind of be fleeting. They'll come through and, you know, and so I've just been really working hard to, not go down the rabbit hole with them, which is something that I would have done in my past, and I would let them control me. And so everything I basically was saying earlier is okay, this thought came through. Number one, it's normal. It's actually a very normal part of ending the third trimester. It actually means that labor is probably around the corner. So a lot of moms, they start to get these like weird anxious fears, like right before they're about to pop, because mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's just a natural part of the process, I think, of prepping. So I've just been catching them. I've been thinking about like why they're here. I've been reminding myself that no matter what happens, I can't control this situation. And so I'm going to show up and be present for whatever my journey is, and it's going to be okay. And I also, again, have resources. So I know a therapist on hand if I need that coming out of, you know, the postpartum period. I have friends that are pregnant. I have other people I know I can talk to, you know, just like prepping for those things, like having support with my family, like all of those different aspects I think are so important, which is a whole nother thing we can talk about, is like postpartum prep. And that can be a whole nother conversation. But as far as the body goes, I do have some doubts about breastfeeding, which that's again, trusting my own body. Mm-hmm. I had the breast reduction. So I really want to breastfeed. It's just something that I want to do, and I want to connect with her in that way. So I've been trying to stay positive in the fact that I also need to be open to whatever my body does, because some women it's harder than others, and that's okay. So I'm just being open to that.
Well, the takeaway that I'm really getting from you is just being very self-aware and acknowledging the thoughts and the feelings that are coming up for you in this moment, the things that could potentially come up for you in the future, and navigating this next chapter and having really great support and tools and resources on hand, mm-hmm. and giving yourself a lot of grace in the meantime, and just enjoying this as well too. And once again, like looking at this very curiously and learning through this process as well too. So this is so valuable. I really appreciate you just sharing so vulnerably as always. And we will absolutely have to do a part two if that's something that you're comfortable with and open to in the next few months, and just see where you're at with all of this, because I do think that there is so many things that we can learn in the next chapter as well too. But thank you. And is there anything else that you want to add to this conversation? I feel like we covered it all.
No, I really think we did. There is one thing I want to add, actually.
Do it.
And that it just popped in my head as you were talking. I think another small part of this, or actually a big part of this with trusting your body, is also trusting it during the labor process. Because there are a lot of fears.
Labor.
There's a lot of fears about the actual like birthing of the baby and the body. And I just want to pull
I'm
up.
I'm so glad you're saying this. Yeah, let's talk about this for a minute.
Yeah, I was like, that's actually huge. I want to just plug that I have been really diving into hypnobirthing, which has a lot to do with affirmations, trusting your body, releasing control, and knowing that everybody births a baby very differently and bodies are so different. So I'm planning on going in my mind, I want to try for an unmedicated birth, and I'm working with midwives and I have a doula and all of that. But guess what? There may be a reason for me to have a C-section. I may end up needing to have an epidural for a variety of reasons. This baby is going to come into the world the way that she wants to come into this world. And I've had to process that my body is going to do exactly what she's meant to do. And this baby is going to do exactly what she is meant to do. And so that's been something I've been prepping for ahead of time. And I think that also really ties into the whole body image, mental piece, that, and even now this mechanical like labor piece, is that in the end, when we wrap all of this up in a nice little bow, it all comes back to accepting your body for where she is and realizing that she was made to do this work and that it's going to unfold exactly how it's meant to. And that can look a variety of ways.
Yeah. You sound really at peace with the labor part. Is there any fear or anxiety or like anything coming up, or have you gotten to a place where you are just really grounded, at least for the moment?
Yeah, I think at the moment that my meditations have really been helping. I'll say that. I listen to my birth affirmations every night and it's been helping. Now, in the moment when things don't go maybe the way that I want, I don't know how I'm going to feel. I've been prepping myself to say, Nina, if you need to get that epidural, you get the epidural. You don't have to be like, who are you trying to, what are you trying to prove type of thing? But I also, there's a part of me that really does want to experience an unmedicated birth. So I don't know how I'm going to feel in that moment when maybe a decision needs to change. But because I've been doing these affirmations, because I've been trying to tell myself that, again, birth can look so many different ways, I'm hoping that that clicks in during a time where maybe I need to change course.
Amazing. The one thing that I love about all of the wisdom that you're sharing in this conversation is how relevant this is for everyday life, like pregnant or not, really just building that trust with your body, listening to your body, getting curious, building skills, building tools, asking for support when needed, recognizing the anxious thinking, the what if thinking versus the what is, self-compassion, grace, all of these things. Like, this is clearly a testament to just how you live your life. And also, I'm so excited for you and for your daughter. And oh my God, I'm going to cry.
I almost cried when I said this season of life will only happen once. I was like, Nina, why did you just say that on the podcast? Don't cry.
Well, you're just going to be the best mom. I just, you know, like if there's any fear, like I'm just so confident about that. You're such an inspiration. Mm-hmm. And she is so, so, so lucky. So I love you so much. I thank you so much for spending time with us today and just being super honest. And all right, go have this baby. We're all rooting for you.
Thank you so much. This has been great. And I've loved having this conversation. It was so fun to talk through. And what a great recording for me to have to listen back on after she gets here. So Yay. Thank you for this opportunity.
Of course. Okay. So in the meantime, while you are having a baby, where can everybody find you? And just if you have any resources while you're on maternity leave that you can direct people towards, what would be the best place?
Yeah, so I am over on Instagram at Nourished with Nina. I talk a lot about hormones and fertility and all the things over there. And then I will be launching podcasts actually throughout my entire maternity leave. I have them all banked up through the end of May. So if you didn't learning about any of this, I talk a lot about the pregnancy and, you know, other various things on there. So that's Healing Hormones Podcast. And I have info on my website too, nourishedwithnina.com. So you can find me in those three places.
Amazing. All right. We'll link it all in the show notes. Thank you so much. I love you. And I'll talk to you soon.
Love you. Thanks.
That's our show. Thank you to our producer, Stephanie Olea, our show manager, Shayla Anderson, and our incredible guest. If you want to stay connected and learn more about our guest today, click the show notes of this episode. And if this conversation resonated with you, please share it with a friend or leave a review so that we can continue to destigmatize these important conversations around our relationship with food and body, and spread inspiration to more women. One last thing, please don't forget to hit subscribe so that you can save time and stay on top of each new episode every week. I'm sending you so much love, confidence, and strength. Talk to you soon.